GNC576. It's Monday, May 18th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Having a great show for you. I'm all packed up and getting ready to head out the door to Ford tomorrow. We'll talk about that here in a second. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcasts available via the podcast link. If you're checking us out on Roku, and I know thousands of you are, thanks for joining me, and I hope that you like the show on the big screen, and we're excited to have you here. And of course, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you'll definitely want to, if you haven't picked one up yet, pick up a Roku at roku.com, and you can watch the show on the big screen. Either on the Tech Podcast or Blueberry channel that we have on the Roku device, have had exceptional numbers over the past week. I'm just completely floored by the number of people that are watching the show. And if you're new to the show, you can, again, get over to geeknewscentral.com, check out the great content over there. Of course, we've got a blog post, archive podcast in audio format as well for you, so you can you can download the show and get subscribed either via iTunes, Zoom Marketplace, whatever way you desire. You can consume this show on a multitude of devices. So, of course, I want to give a big welcome to the Ohana, all of you that are longtime subscribers to the show. Of course, here in Hawaii, Ohana means family, so I want to welcome everyone to the family. And, of course, we've got listeners tuning in from 165 countries worldwide. And one way you can stay on top of the show is by signing up for our newsletter. The newsletter contains everything that I talk about during the show, including show notes, basically hyperlinks to all the articles I cover, and includes submissions by listeners and viewers like you. If you have comments on today's show, you can submit them to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call our 24/7 voicemail hotline at area code 619-342-7365. And thanks for checking the show out. If you're checking us out for the very first time, we got a lot of tech. I'm going to cover some basically intro stuff that I always do at the beginning of the show, and then we'll get into the tech content here probably in about 7 or 8 minutes if I can speed through everything. It's been amazing, folks. Those of you that are on the basically listening to the show via the audio portion, remarkable numbers. Over the past week, I have simply been floored. And I think I can officially say that now 99, maybe even 98.5% of you are listening via audio. And I think we've broken that 1% or 1.5% threshold for folks that are actually watching the show. And that's important because it's taken us a while to get there for at least the video portion goes. And, of course, this is show number 576. We've been at this since October of 2004, and we'll be at it for many years to come. Last show. Well, what happened to my trusty audio recorder? It has become not so trusty anymore. And the last show was delivered once again by a backup recording. And so what has happened is I got totally fed up. Immediately following the last show, I went on to Sweetwater.com, and I ordered a replacement computer specifically designed to be quiet and optimized for recording audio. You guys know that I went hundreds of shows on my original machine. It was doing the audio portion of the recording, and it died. And then here some months ago, about a year ago, we replaced that machine with another one that has been nothing but trouble ever since I got it. And it basically, I had bought it as a, I'm not going to need two series of machine to record audio specifically because I was putting a good audio card in it. And something is drastically wrong with the machine. It gets to about 48 minutes and decides, hey, I've had enough. I'm going to record in a different speed than what you want me to. So when I get back from Dearborn, Michigan, after next week, the new machine will be installed and we won't have to deliver the audio via the backup recording. But this past weekend, pretty busy around here. Lots of stuff going on with the kids. We went to my son's baseball game. It's actually Coach Pitch. He's going to be 7 here this winter. But Coach Pitch, and he hit 2 line drives. And 1, he really nailed it. I was very, very proud of him. He did a very good job. It was, Dad was smiling from ear to ear. Of course, we're not allowed to, too much cheering and clapping. You have to be careful because they're really sensitive about, parents doing stupid things. And I was not that bad parent. I was a good parent during the game. And then we actually went to the following day, we went to a University of Hawaii baseball game, stayed about 5 innings before we had to kick out because my daughter and son had a concert that night. Both were performing. My son plays the cello and my daughter plays the violin. So they had a concert that evening where they performed for all the parents from school. So that was nice to get to. And in between all that craziness, I spent a lot of time doing accounting and getting caught up on bookkeeping here. And plus we went fishing and we caught 8 fish. 2 small ones, 2 medium-sized ones. And some fishing poles had gotten out that hadn't seen any action in a very, very long time. Okay, here's the schedule. Of course, I'm going to be in Michigan the rest of the week, and we're going to have a meetup Saturday the 22nd at 6 p.m. Saturday the 22nd at 6 p.m., at Applebee's in Coldwater, Michigan. For those of you that are going to go, please RSVP. I've gotten a number of you already have RSVP'd. Now, there's going to be a roundtable Saturday at 4. So as soon as I get done for Eastern, as soon as I get done wrapping up the roundtable, I'm going to get in the car and head out to Applebee's. It'll be plenty of time. But we're going to have a roundtable for those of you that want to tune in live Saturday at 4. We've got a pretty good lineup. As a matter of fact, I got to get that up and posted here on what's going to be happening this coming weekend for that. So Tech Podcast Roundtable over at techpodcast.com. We'll definitely want you to join in. Of course, I'll be participating from my mom's house, and I'm going to be doing the Thursday show from my mom's house probably Friday morning if everything goes right. But I am going to be producing a special insider. So if you have not yet joined the Geek News Central Insider, but you have not yet become a Geek News Central Insider, this is the really the week to do it, because I got to thinking about what I was going to do for you guys, and you're going to get an inside look of really, I'm going to give you guys the full Monty, and the video should be pretty good. I've kind of played it out in my head how I'm going to do it. So if you haven't become a Geek News Central Insider, consider doing so, and starts as low as $2 a month, geeknewscentral.com/insider. Of course, we've got some special offers for you at geeknewscentral.com/offers. Check those out as well. And I'm wearing tonight, let me take the video down or the tag down. I'm wearing an Ohana shirt that I got from the Cafe Press store. So you guys can see it on video. It says Ohana, and then underneath it was Geek News Central. And it's black with the white print, the way I kind of like them. And Sam has put some more designs up there. Matter of fact, I got a coffee mug my wife immediately stole. And she said, I'm going to take this to work tomorrow. This is too cool. And because she's been doing part-time work at the school. And so, all the teachers have their own little coffee cups. So she has to have hers to show off. But cafepress.com/Ohana store. I have linked up to that in the show notes. Again, if you want to Twitter about what's going on with the show, you can Twitter to the Ohana at @OhanaOhana. If you want to chat with me, you can do @GNC on Twitter, and we have a conversation there. And make sure you favorite the website over on Facebook. Again, going to be on at Ford on Thursday, and I've gotten a number of you have submitted questions for me to ask Ford executives if the chance arrives. Let me actually bring this piece of paper over here without making a mess. What they're going to have us doing is we're going to be going to the Manufacturing Ergo Lab, the Vertex Lab, the Powerwall, whatever this is, Powerwall Cave and IVR. And then in the afternoon, we're going to get pitched by one of the executives at lunchtime, Frank Davis, Executive Director of North America Product Programs. And then from 1:15 to 4:15 in the afternoon, we're going to be at the having the opportunity to drive 2010 and 2011 model year cars. That's going to be kind of cool. Doing steering and handling, high-speed track. I'm looking forward to that. And product reviews center with a safety and technology demos. And then I get in a car and drive to where my mom grows up. So it should be fun at Ford. And I'll have a full report for you along with a lot of video, I hope, come next week after I start processing some of that stuff. Also, Jeffrey Powers over at geekazine.com wanted me to put a call out to everyone that's a podcaster, so listen to the show. The podcast madness for the summer of 2010 is going to kick off soon. So right now we're just soliciting podcasters that want to be involved with that. Go over to podcastmadness.com. There's going to be some Blog World and New Media Expo passes that are going to be given away to bloggers that sign up, podcasters that sign up before, let me see here, what did he say, the 24th of May. So you got a few days to get going there. And podcastmadness.com is where you can sign up for that and get involved. And they're going to be soliciting. I think I've signed up to give something away, so I got to figure out what that is and get the basically what I'm going to give away to Jeffrey or let him know what I'm going to be giving away. I think that's it. And we've got a lot of content to get into tonight. And let's take care of a little business here to pay the bills, keep the lights on. And for those of you checking out the show very first time, GoDaddy.com is a longtime sponsor here of the show. And if you're looking for a domain name, dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, whatever it may be, you'll definitely want to check it out. Matter of fact, let's see if I can load this. I hadn't pre-picked it up. Let me see if I can actually find it real quick. I should have. Of course, this is what I get for not preparing. Let's see. Is this an email stack? Oh, no, of course not. Oh, man, this sucks. Let me look over in this other stack here. I'll have to play it on the next show if I can't find it here real quick. I think it's an actual video, but I just was going to have the audio. Anyway, I can't find it. I have to dig it out. But anyway, remember, .com prices are going up here in about another month and a half. So if you've got domains that you need to renew or domains that you want to pick up or thinking about domains, do that. They're not going up a lot, just a little bit. Of course, you can pick up dedicated servers, virtual dedicated servers, shared hosting accounts, whatever it may be over at GoDaddy.com. And use my promo codes. When you get to the checkout counter, you can use the promo code Todd. That'll save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. ComSale will will get you .coms at $7.49. Todd20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. And of course, I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central, and thank you guys for supporting through purchases of GoDaddy and using my promo code. Share those with your friends and family members and help them save a lot of cash. All right, we've got an ongoing right now. Basically, if you are using GoToMeeting and you have a testimonial for GoToMeeting, send me your testimonial. Or if you've just tried the trial for the first time and discovered something cool, send that to me as well. Because next week, I'm going to give away a three-month, I'm going to pay for your GoToMeeting subscription for 3 months. And, in this ongoing economy, and it's being very, very challenging for many people. Companies and businesses of all sizes must find new ways to cut costs. You know, every dollar saved really helps that bottom line. And that's why I continue to recommend a web conferencing solution known as GoToMeeting for your business. It helps you improve your overall business communications and efficiencies, not to mention improving the economy by not having to go somewhere to have a meeting. Now, the easiest and most affordable course is GoToMeeting, brought to you by Citrix. Reduce time on the road by presenting training or demonstrating online. Improve conference calls by collaborating in real time by sharing your screens. GoToMeeting is the best way to increase your productivity and cut costs. I've used GoToMeeting now going on 5 years, actually 5.5 years to be exact. And as a listener of this show, you can try GoToMeeting for free for 30 days. Again, that's a month of unlimited meetings free for this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast, GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast to save, you basically get that free trial and, of course, save time and money by using the product. Thanks for GoToMeeting for being a longtime sponsor here. That kind of come out weird, didn't I? I've done this spot in a variety of ways for a long time, and I was like tripping over myself tonight. That's not the way to do that. But anyway, we've heard back from the vendor. It seems like we're doing pretty good this quarter. But I want to thank all of you guys for trying those trials and hopefully signing up and using the product here. All right, let me go ahead and make sure I've got through my entire list of stuff. And remember, if you want to create something and sell something for the show, please do so. Just think about me here. Give me a little bit of a cut of it. And again, that Geek News Central Insider, we're going to be giving insiders. If you're a silver contributor, you're going to be getting a T-shirt. If you're a silver contributor for a year, platinum contributors are going to get a polo shirt. Plus, we're going to be putting in a pool for revenue sharing. Stickers and swag. If you want to get some stickers and swag from the show, send a self-stamped addressed envelope to the Geek here at Geek News Central. I'll have the mailing address in the actual show notes tonight, which go out in the newsletter. So you can actually send an envelope to us with an envelope inside, and we'll send you some cool stuff back. So anyway, thanks for everybody for being a longtime listener of the show and hanging out here. Okay, let's go ahead and get into tech like I promised I'd get into about 4 minutes ago. First article up, and actually, this is kind of funny. How many, you know, I've got LED lights here in the office, and they are not inexpensive LED lights by any means. But today, let me see if I can bring this up for those of you on Ustream. Today, a Chinese scientist demonstrated a 2 meg per second internet connection over LED. We all know that LED lights are cool. We know that we've been able to beam messages back and forth between Palm Pilots and so forth. But right now, a Chinese scientist has been able to demonstrate 2 megs per second internet over LED lights that are built into the ceiling. So especially you'll have a PDA or a printer or a laptop that really gets its data transmission through the light bulb. And that's pretty cool. Of course, it's going to be very expensive initially, but we'll see what they come up with this over time. But quite literally, data bits streaming on top of our heads. Who knows which other ways they're going to think about coming up to transfer data back and forth. Hey, big news out of Seagate today, and boy, oh boy, the barriers keep being busted. But Seagate has confirmed a 3 terabyte hard drive coming in 2010. And we all knew that 3 terabytes would be reached at some point. Of course, I remember I still have it on a shelf back here, a 1.6 gig, yes, a 1.6 gig drive I paid $1,000 for. But Seagate has confirmed the company will be announcing a 3 terabyte drive later this year and may require you to be running Windows 64, though. It doesn't look like this hard drive is going to work on a 32-bit operating system. So that may be the only challenge here. So Windows 7/64-bit version may be required to run the 3 terabyte drive. No word yet on if not, this is going to work on Macs. So we'll keep our ears peeled on that. But no price point at this point. But 3 terabytes, insane, totally insane. All right, the folks over Engadget have a review. Remember we talked about that Wi-Fi sync application that was ultimately rejected by the folks over at Apple? Well, the folks at Engadget did a test on it to see how well it works. And I've always said that being able to sync your mobile device without, especially the iPhone, without having to tether it to the computer is really the way to go. Well, they had mixed results with this thing. They had some start stops. They had iTunes crash. Had it was a little bit rough. the applications available on Cydia, if you have jailbroken your iPhone or your iPod, and $9.99 is the price for that. Or any, so if you have iPod Touch or an iPhone, you can go ahead and get this. Mixed results, but the guys did like just the ability to be able to do it, so I'm sure it will improve with time. If anybody has actually paid for this, part of the Ohana here that's got this app loaded, I'd love to hear another report instead of the, you know, from you guys instead of from Engadget. And of course, you can send a comment to geeknews@gmail.com or call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. How many of you have seen in the airports the little kiosk which will sell you a video player? Or basically, it's a little box. You take it on the airplane, and it has assortment of videos on it. You can basically get off the airplane, and you drop it off at the kiosk at the other destination. Don't do that coming to Hawaii because there's really no drop-off place. But apparently, a company called Blue Box is going to be launching the first iPad embedded in-flight entertainment system. This essentially is where you, instead of renting one of those boxes, you're going to be able to rent an iPad for a flight to watch movies and stuff. So this is kind of cool. Now, also, they're saying that the potential is there that this could actually be the actual iPad tablets. Did I say iPhone? What did I say? This is for iPad tablets. Excuse me if I said that incorrectly. They're also saying that at some point, airlines could equip their aircraft with these devices as well. So in other words, it would be a complete Apple experience in your seat. So we'll see what happens with this. But for right now, Blue Box's portable IFE players are going to be available, and you'll be able to rent these. I think primarily IFE serves largely the UK market. But I do know what they do have franchises here in the United States. So we'll keep you advised on that as well. Another reason to buy the Roku, are you a UFC fan? Well, I'm not specifically a UFC fan, but if you are, they're going to be bringing pay-per-view to the Roku player. So not only are you going to be able to pick movies to watch via your Netflix account, if you want to watch UFC events, you can do so via pay-per-view. Full lineup of those matches are going to be there. So no date yet on when it's going to be released, but another win for the Roku folks. Actually, I saw a posting as well today that basically was an update on Google. It appears that Google, Sony, and Intel are in a collaboration to bring what they're going to be bringing to market, and it's going to be running on Android. It's supposed to be announced very, very soon, so we're going to be keeping our ears peeled on that. And if you're an Android developer, you might very soon be able to get some extra work from us here at Raw Voice. We may be looking for some folks to build channels for us on the Android platform, so we'll keep you advised on that. But I'll see if I have that link for that article, bring it up here later in the show. One of the articles over on Geek News Central that was posted by Nolan, one of our blogging contributing authors over there, is he basically did a review on iPhone and Android operating system updates, talking how at this point the Android market is becoming semi-fragmented in that we're going to have multiple sets of phones running Android, all having a little bit different build. And essentially, he was talking about how it's taking so long to get updates in. Now, in January, Google released Android version 2.1. And this week, it's going to be introducing 2.2. But many of the Android phones out there cannot and have not been upgraded to 2.1 yet. So, is this going to be a problem for the Android base? Are they going to have, are you going to basically buy a phone and be locked into a version for a very, very long time before they update it, before for the phone developer actually makes the software compatible? So he goes into that a little bit, talking about the, you know, the potential for concern on the Android platform. Because as he says in here, in another year, we'll have hundreds of Android models on the market. And he's concerned about the upgrade process. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with. What are you guys' thoughts? Geeknews@gmail.com. I've got a job posting over on geeknewscentral.com. Actually posted on the blog at Raw Voice, blog at Blueberry as well. We're looking for a programmer. And we're going to be offering a competitive full-time salary out of Columbus, Ohio. So if you're skilled and upcoming programmer, we need you. And we have an immediate start for anyone that is looking for a job. If you know someone that is willing to relocate to the Columbus, Ohio area and is in need of work, we're hiring. And all you got to do is come over to geeknewscentral.com. It's the second article on the website right now. There's a little apply now button at the bottom. We posted this today on Munster on LinkedIn and started to get resumes coming in. So we're going to be trying to fill this very, very quickly. The requirements are on the website. So if you know of someone that needs work, we're ready to hire somebody to join the Raw Voice team. All right, moving on here on Gizmodo. Four square mares. Well, if you're a four square mare of Starbucks, you can now get a discount. You can get a dollar coupon off, and it doesn't say if it's a weekly or one-time use. Oh, it is. It's a one-time use coupon. So if you go into your local Starbucks and you check in 100 times, they're going to give you a dollar off. You know, if they really wanted to make it interesting, let's be honest, a buck? You're just going to get a buck off your latte? Why don't we just make it so that if you are the four square mayor and you hold the position for, let's say, a week, let's say you get a free latte. Wouldn't that make it better? Now, I guess you can get free donuts at Dunkin' Donuts. That's something that's getting ready to go in play here. But yeah, you get a $1 off coupon. You have until June 28th to do this. You have to defend your mayorship. Oh, my goodness. It's ridiculous. So let's make it a little competitive for your dollar, all right? How many of you see that this is borderline ridiculous? Just a buck? Are people going to fight over that dollar? Just a dollar. Wow. They're big spenders, aren't they? Yeah, you can tell I'm really enthused over that program. Hey, when I was coming out of Albuquerque, and let me bring this up on the Ustream feed so you guys can see this. How many have been through an airport and seen these new full body scanners? I was joking with a guy that was actually how they work this is you walk into this new booth and you have to raise your arms in the air. You hold them above your head, kind of like you're holding, you know, like you're being robbed. And they're using this backscatter X-ray technology to, you know, image your body. And they get to see everything. And some gal was running the scanner, and I kind of peeked my head around the corner when I came out. And I asked her, I said, all clear? And she kind of looked at me kind of funny. And I said, I bet you that's a fun job. And I was just teasing her a little bit. I said, that's like watching the virtual reality adult film. And she didn't particularly smile at that remark. Probably would have cost me a pat down if I said too much more. But it took forever. And I just, you know, I was going through security and I got in basically the wrong line. And next time I'll be looking for these things and I'll go in a different line. Because it took me about three times as longer to get through security. And the gal told me that every line or every TSA line will have these in short order. But there's scientists today are concerned about the safety of these new X-ray machines. And they're asking the administration to, you know, to really look at these close because they feel that they could be doing damage to our DNA. And I kind of thought this for a second. You know, we're all exposed to a certain level amount of radiation on a daily basis. We go to the hospital and get a chest x-ray, and that's voluntary. But I got to thinking, as many times as I go through airports a year, I've been through security 32 times since January 1. Now, if I had to go through 32 x-rays with this machine, then I might become a bit concerned. TSA is saying that these scans are voluntary. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take one for the team here. Purposely, on my next flight, and I know they don't have these in Honolulu. I don't know if they have them in Detroit. But I'm going to purposely get in a line that has one of these. And then I'm going to ask, when I am asked to step through, tell them that I don't want to be scanned by the machine. I would rather be wanded or whatever they want to do to, you know, make sure I'm safe to fly. But I'm going to try to opt out of going through this scanner. Now, I don't know if this is going to be ugly or if it's going to turn into an issue, but the TSA and FDA say that the radiation from the new RapiScan machines is negligible and point out that scanning is technically optional. You hear that correctly, technically optional, but it's hard to take their word for this. And anyway, so you're going to get radiated now when you go through these machines at the airport. How many of you feel comfortable going into an actual x-ray scanner? Now, I know this is of some concern, I'm sure, to the ladies out there that you're, you know, depending on who's watching the x-ray machine. I didn't really care one way or the other because I'm sure these TSA folks are going to become semi-immune to this. You know, you just, you know, a number of bodies going through. You're just another person. But this is really the only time when we don't have a choice, at least from what I can think here, where we're going to have, you know, by choice, you go to the doctor to get an x-ray. By choice, you get an x-ray when you break your arm. By choice, you know, you don't have to. You can refuse getting radiated, but we'll see what happens with the TSA on this. It's going to take a lot longer to get through security if every line has one of these machines. I can tell you that right now because I had to wait. He says, well, it takes a few seconds here. And I think it was maybe 30 to 60 seconds before I could move on to pick my stuff up, you know, and everything else. But the scan itself took maybe, you know, 3 seconds. So I said, and I was done. And so the poor TSA agent, one on either side, I just wonder if they're going to be wearing radiation badges over these things. But we'll see. And I'll report back to you guys on when if any of you want to try this, just, you know, tell the TSA guy, I don't really want to go through the scanner and see what they do. Now, until they're across all lanes, they may just tell you to go through the different line. But then again, you may get the full treatment where you're, you know, going to a private room and getting naked for your favorite TSA agent. So be forewarned, who knows what the results will be here. How many of you have downloaded any iPad apps for magazines? Now, it's been many, many years since I have picked up a GQ. As you can tell, I'm, you know, a candidate for all their nice clothes and, you know, haircuts where men have big, full-bodied hair. And, you know, I'm just a perfect candidate right now to read that magazine. Not. But apparently, GQ is trying to bolster the number of people that are downloading the GQ app. So what they've done here is they have basically put a Victoria's Secret model, Miranda Kerr, on the next cover and hope for the best. And they've got her in a semi-state of dress on the magazine, which is almost not child safe. Actually, isn't child safe, in my opinion. They're saying their version of the sold about seven. Actually, the iPad version of the magazine sold 7,000 copies, and compared to 240,000 newsstand and 667,000 subscriber issues. So not huge pickup here. But how many of you actually read any magazines on the iPad yet? I'd kind of like to hear you guys' feedback on that. It doesn't have to be GQ. It can be any of the other magazines that are available. What's been your experience on this? And will them having a beautiful model on the front cover encourage you to actually buy the app so you can have the magazine? So anyway, I'd love to hear your feedback on this. All right, over on Technologizer, I'm destroying this, .com. They have done a history of the term fanboy, and I mean an extensive term fanboy. Now, fanboy, obviously, we all know that when someone says, okay, are you an Apple fanboy? Either you are, you wear this with a badge of honor, or, you could be scorned, who knows? But there is a history of how the term fanboy started. And so I think I'll save this for you guys. But check this out. Apple has 188,000 references on Google. PlayStation 364K, Sony 80K, Wii 73K, Nintendo 64.5. Where do you guys think Microsoft falls in on the fanboy segment of Google searches? Microsoft is at 22,500. Windows at 13,800. Google at 11,000. The iPhone at 10.7K. The iPad at 7860. And all the way down at the bottom, Zune at 1,180 fanboys. But Apple is definitely king when it comes to fanboy reference on Google at 188,000. I don't think that should come as any surprise to any of us. But anyway, good article here. I'll let you guys through. I'll save you guys I'll let you guys basically go through and pull out the history and look at the origins of it. It's a pretty cool article. It's a good read. And technologizer.com. I apologize to the author of that website. I'm firing on all cylinders here today. Now, you guys hear about this guy named Thomas Salm. He's a maintenance engineer who became a Boeing 737 pilot by flying a few nights in a flight simulator and printing himself a fake airliner's pilot license. Well, amazingly, he flew passengers for 13 years without any incidents. He was flying for some airline out of Sweden, and he didn't get caught a few months ago, and he was arrested, fined a couple of $1,000s. That's all he was fined, and basically restricted for flying for a certain amount of time. So I guess they're going to let him continue to fly. He says, I got the crackpot idea to apply as a co-pilot at a real airline, so I made myself a Swedish flying permit with a logo out of regular white paper. It wasn't laminated and looked like something I'd made at home. It was surprisingly easy. The documents look different everywhere in Europe and in Europe. An Italian airline doesn't know what a Swedish license looks like, and you can forge all the IDs you need. I'd train there for 2 or 3 hours at a time, at least 15 to 20 times over 1.5 years before he actually tried this. So I guess he had actually flown in the simulator about 60 hours worth before he actually applied to be a co-pilot and actually got hired. Simply amazing. Makes you go, it really, really does. Here's the article of the day. The question we have all been wanting to ask, but we're too much afraid to. NASA has released a video on the space shuttle's toilet. They actually take a couple of astronauts through the required refresher training. And I have to laugh. I really, really do. Because, the most primitive solutions seem to work out very well. And all I can really say is they bag it. When I was in the Navy, flying in P-3s, many years ago, there was this big controversy about the $800 toilet seat lid that was being installed in Navy P-3 aircraft. It was right around the same time where they were arguing about the $600 hammer as well. And so what the Navy did to, I think, reduce, how should we say it, embarrassment and to lighten the aircraft is that the potties in P-3s were originally chemical toilets. But I'll be honest with you, the aircrew guys did not like to have to service that chemical toilet after the flights. You know, that blue liquid you see that's, you know, in the commercial airlines today when you do the flush. And so it was a self-contained chemical unit. And these things were pretty heavy. Total pain in the butt to service. There was never a cart that you could get. So anyways, ugly, ugly, ugly. So they kind of adopted, or I bet you the person that came up with the shuttle toilet was a Navy guy because that flew on P-3s, because their solution was very similar to what the Navy P-3s have. All I can really, best way to describe it is honey bucket. And the P-3 guys to this day do a lot of bagging. That's all I will really expound upon this. And when you guys see the video, you're gonna laugh on how they have implemented their space toilet. The only difference is it's for them, it's all about positioning. And when you see the actual way they train to get their alignment correct, you just got to see it. This will be a multi-million view YouTube video. Link will be up in the show notes. It's very comical, but it answers that question we've all had. How do you go number two in space? Okay. All right, Apple fans. How many of you have been using MobileMe Mail? Did you hear there's new beta that's available? Well, the reviews on the MobileMe beta is very, well, it's not positive. But one thing I was looking at this, and Apple really has tried to make MobileMe Mail kind of look like Gmail. But I think they used a programmer that has only been doing code for a couple of years and definitely known with any graphic design skills. It's horrible. It looks horrible, but I've got the full rundown on the MobileMe Mail beta, and let you guys, you know, form your own opinion. If you're using it, love to hear your feedback on this. Hey, over on newtv.com, can you believe it? YouTube, just amazing. They announced today that we're watching 2 billion views a day. I read that 5 years. 2 billion views a day. That is amazing. And it walks you through the history of YouTube. And, you know, so it really, YouTube's only been on the street since May of 2005. Seems like a lot longer than that, right? So this is huge. Where they've come, and they've come so fast so far. 2 billion a day. I just shudder to think about the bandwidth requirements that is required to, you know, support all that content. It's got to be crazy. Yeah, over on Windley.com, I am just blown away. How many of you live in Utah? You know, if one thing Utah has going for them is something called the X Mission. Actually, it's part of the Utah FTTH project. And I guess what this is some sort of collaboration that brings fiber to consumers' homes in the Salt Lake area. And this guy, I'm just jealous. I wanted to share this was he's getting speeds of 48.2 megs down and 26.84 megs up. Using a service called X Mission Internet via the Utah FTTH project. I don't know what he's paying for this, but he essentially has a DS3 line to his house. You know, that to me is like the holy grail of speed. I'm just going to put this up on the, I don't know if you guys can see this or not, 48.2 megs down, 26.84 megs up. That is just, to me, unbelievable. Now, of course, he did the speed test with a server in the Salt Lake City area, and that will definitely help speed things up. And, you know, most, you know, someone hit my, hit Geek News Central and tried to pull down my media file. You know, they're only going to get it as fast as the internet can provide it, but that's a lot of bandwidth to go around to share amongst five people in a family. I'd love to, what I wouldn't give for that. That's just, that tells you what's possible out there, folks, and what we could all have at some point in the future if things continue to progress. Big news out of Google today. Google posted an unlisted video to YouTube showing details of a 2.0 version of its Feed API. And what's important about this is we're going to be able to push, and they're going to be able to push real-time feeds to the browser. So many of you will actually subscribe to RSS feeds. What happens right now is that periodically the software will go out and reach and update and make sure or check the feed for updates. The difference here is that Google is going to be able to push the actual feed updates to your browser real time. And, of course, it'll accept real time feeds from Pub Sub Hubbub. And, of course, that's at pubsubhubbub.com, along with a number of folks that have implemented that on their WordPress sites. But, Google is going to support both inbound and outbound feeds, and they're going to be providing read-write API access for developers that want to develop to this. So this is huge. And really what it is, it's going to enable real-time reporting on the web. You won't have to wait for your feed reader to go out and grab new content. Of course, with the iPad announcement and them selling a million iPads, we wonder what's going to happen with the Amazon Kindle. And I'm a pretty big fan of the Kindle still. That's the only thing I've been using to read books on. Have been trying to read a book I bought on the iPad. It just is not the same experience. But Amazon is not going to be laying down. They have been hiring a bevy of folks. And I think they've posted 30 or 40 plus jobs available. And you can look at the job listings on the website. And some are for testing, some are writing new products, some of them are channel developers. It's going to be real interesting what Amazon brings to the table here, because what's going to happen is Amazon really have sold the Kindle and books in the Kindle store as loss leaders. And they really have sunk a major corporate investment into the Kindle platform. So we'll see what happens with this, but if anybody can really go head to head with the iPad, I think the folks at Amazon can, if they can act fast enough and get it, you know, the product sexy enough that people will want to continue to buy the Kindle product versus maybe going with an iPad. So we'll see what happens here, but it should prove to be an interesting summer and fall with announcements both from Amazon, and we'll see what happens with Apple as well. U.S. Mac sales are up 39% in April. This is based on sales data. Appears that iPods, not Macs, are the ones being catalyzed by the iPad. That should not come as a surprise. So people, instead of buying an iPod, they're buying an iPad. But actual Mac sales are still doing good. And this is huge. This is a huge increase, considering that Mac sales were only up 7% in March. Of course, February and January were big increases from a year-to-year perspective. And I'll give you an example. In 2009, sales in April were at negative 2% based upon the previous year. And month to month in 2010, 39% growth. So this is huge. Now, if you look at the iPod actual market, in 2009, they had negative 9% decrease in sales over 12% growth in 2008, whereas 2010 in April, they had 17% drop in sales over the 9% that they lost in 2009. So definitely iPod sales are down, with iPad sales probably taking the majority of the selling the majority of the product in that category. So I'm kind of curious from all of you, if you were thinking about buying another iPod or iPod Touch, were you going to opt instead to an iPad? Or did you do that instead? I'm kind of curious. Love to hear you guys' feedback on that. Hey, over on techmeme.com, they released an article on their blog today talking about their leaderboard and some changes they've made there. I'm a big tech meme fiend. I'm over on that site 4 or 5 times a day at least. And I've also been following their MediaGazer website as well. But now they're actually ranking sources of articles. And of course, right there at the top, TechCrunch, Engadget, VentureBeat, CNET, New York Times, Silicon Alley Insider are big winners in their leaderboard, as would be expected. So I'm going to have this link up in the show notes. If you're a tech meme fiend, you want to check it out. TechMeme.com. All right, the Pirate Bay went down, as we talked about in the last show. The ISP, Cyber Bunker, CB3ROB Limited, CB3ROB Limited, was shut down by German courts. And so instead of really taking the law into their own hands, the ISP is basically say they're having their attorneys review the injunction, since they've just been, it was delivered today to them. And the folks at the Pirate Bay are working very, very diligently to get their sites back up. Now, CB3ROB was not the actual host of their actual servers. The actual location of their servers is a well-guarded secret. And all they really were doing was providing the routing to those machines. And to this point, TorrentFreak was still down, as they were trying to pick up some new routes or getting different alternate routing through some different providers. So we'll see what happens and how long it takes the Pirate Bay to get back online. All right, Google's Wi-Fi snoop. Well, boy, oh boy. Google made an admission that their cars have been driving around the country mapping, not only taking the pictures that we see on Google Earth and all those other great tools that Google has, they've actually been collecting personal data unbeknownst to Google for a number of years here. So as they go by your house and they sniff your Wi-Fi network, they've been not only sniffing the SSID, but apparently they've been getting a little bit of the data that's actually going across your Wi-Fi network at the time if you're actually surfing the net or doing something. They're saying, though, it's only like a small segment, and they've taken all their cars off the road to make changes to the code to make sure that this is not happening anymore. Said it was a result of holdover code that was brought into the system on it from some other project. So again, it's a street view. It's not Google Earth. So it's the street view cars were the ones that were collecting this data. So they say that there may be as much as 600 gigs of data that was collected across 30 countries, and Google is doing everything to purge any of their data sets from that data. They say it was never used. It's never been released to anyone, and this information was released as a result of Google policing themselves and making the admission that this had happened. And part of it was in concern to some questions made by folks in Germany, where they were actually asking, okay, what are you collecting, and how is this information being used, that made Google actually go back and look at the data that they were collecting. And UK countries are not very happy about this. Not too much coming out of the United States at this point, but there are people asking the FTC to find out from Google when and where they knew about this and what they've done to get it shut down. Now, Google says they're going to submit their code to a third-party audit to make sure that they were not actually, validate that they're actually collecting data that may be in the data transmission stream when they go by and sniff your Wi-Fi SSID tag out. Now, we actually talked about this in an earlier show, but what they're doing there is when I got my iPad and turned it on and used the Google Map, it actually located me. And the reason it was able to do that was that the Google Street View car has been by my house and mapped my SSID, my neighbors, the ones across the street, and through that registry was able to triangulate where I was actually located. It was very, very close in the Google Maps. So that's how they're using this data largely, is to be able to, you know, when people are on actually not on a GPS enabled device, to make their map services work not only on the Android but on the iPhone and the iPad and so forth. So pretty interesting stuff here. All right, Atlantis has wrapped up its first spacewalk, and they are preparing for spacewalk number two. They had a few issues and actually got called back into the bay just into the actual spacewalk because they had a power outage, some sort of power outage on the International Space Station. They spent about 20 minutes in the holding area before they were allowed to go back out when they fixed that. But they're going to be replacing batteries and a variety of other housekeeping chores on the International Space Station over the next 12 or 13 days. It appears that our new iPhone 4G is going to be getting a 960 by 640 display. And while we've kind of talked about that already, I got to thinking about that a little bit from a video production perspective. Many of the apps out there are already optimized for all of the different screen sizes. But 960 by 640 is a really kind of weird size. And it's going to be a challenge, I think, to deliver video that's compatible across all phones, you know, because you're getting all these weird phone sizes now, screen resolution sizes. So I'm going to be investigating this a little more. I got to do some math and, you know, see how this stuff is going to scale. But, you know, every time the resolution increases on these phones, really what's going to happen is at some point we're going to have to say uncle and stop increasing the actual resolution of the data that we're sending down. We're just going to have to send a lower res video to the phones because the size is going to get of these video files are going to get big. I'm already running about 700 megs for this show. And you increase the actual pixel size of the image, and it's definitely going to, those files are going to get bigger. But looks like 960 by 640 here for those of you that are going to be getting the new 4G when it comes out. And of course, they're expected to announce that sometime in June. Survey about life in general. A study out this week has asked U.S. participants to rate variables in their lives such as stress, worry, and happiness, and user responses to estimate their well-being. And they conducted a survey over 300,000 people via phone, basically a phone survey. And what they found, and this shouldn't come as a surprise, but I do find it validates a lot of things I've seen with people that are older and folks that are younger, obviously. They're saying that stress and worry had sharp increases between the ages of 18 and 21. Well, partly because they got to go to school and figure out how to pay for their existence. And also the 22 to 25 year age bracket had a sharp increase in stress and worry. Stress declined as age increased, with a drop off sharpening around the mid 50s. Worry remained flat until the late 40s when it became a slow decline. Researchers floated the possibility that the graph turns when which were related to children, and particularly when the children are getting out of the house, which I think definitely reduces stress. Depends if your kids are living on their own or mooching off parents. I think that's part of it. It said anger plateaued for those in their 30s, but declined with age. Sadness was the flattest of the graphs. Participants indicated a small increase in sadness from mid-30s to early 50s before becoming happy again. And it said that women overall exhibited a greater sense of well-being than men, despite reporting the same amount of happiness and less enjoyment. While the two groups didn't always report the same levels of a variable, their peaks and valleys tracked each other over time. And they said those folks that are in their 60s and 70s are the ones that are really on the least amount of stress. I wonder if that's, how could that be true today with everyone's 401ks turning into, 200.5Ks or whatever it may be, because of the decline in the economy. But anyway, they're saying life is gets better as you get older. So this report confirms that. There's been a 160% increase in H.264 video online since January. And part of this is people trying to get ready for HTML5. And this was a report done by Mephedia. Well, we talked about this once before, but this popped today over on ArsTechnica.com. Microsoft continues, and this I think you guys will get a laugh about this. And, of course, I know some of you are still stuck on Internet Explorer version 6. But Microsoft is continuing to do campaigns to try to move people off IE6. And one of the ads that they're running shows a milk carton. And it says, you wouldn't drink 9-year-old milk, would you? And then it goes on to talk about malware and, the probability of you being infected by a virus by using IE6 versus using version IE8 and so forth. So why doesn't Microsoft just pull the plug? Why aren't they just, and I agree in this article. Microsoft needs to stop talking trash about IE6 and just trash it. I know some of you will gasp at me saying that because you're on systems that your system administrators have locked you into. They've got infrastructure that only runs well on IE6, basically web apps and so forth. But come on, it's 9 years old. Time to move on. I agree. A Cambridge study has determined the cause of battery fires, specifically in why lithium batteries in laptops and mobile phones have been overheating and catching on fire. Cambridge University researchers said the growth of metal fibers called dendrites could cause short circuits. And they did nuclear magnetic resonance spectroscopy to look at the elements in lithium batteries. And they are basically trying to determine how this develops. And they said that this research could help solve fire safety problems, which have held up the development of lithium battery technology. So we'll see what goes on with that. They do say that when current batteries are charged quickly, it can cause the actual lithium dendrites to form more readily. So I don't know if that means at some point they're going to reduce the charge rate on our chargers or not. I don't know. If you want a peek inside Microsoft Office version 2010, the folks over at CNET News have a pretty good review of Office 2010. So if you're thinking about making that upgrade, you definitely want to check that out in the show notes. Again, if you have comments on tonight's show, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. You got to hand it to the students at MIT. They're always coming up with pretty amazing projects. They're making, they're doing great research. And over on CNET, it's being reported that researchers at MIT say they have come up with designs for a new generation of commercial aircraft that, if designed the way they suggest they be designed, could use as much as 70% less fuel than today's aircraft. This was part of a $2.1 million NASA grant that the MIT led, that a $2.1 million NASA grant, the MIT-led team said that its designs for a so-called N+3 airplane, meaning three generations beyond today's aircraft, could leverage new technologies being developed. So anyway, radical change in design and look, potentially aircraft in the future, but could result in significant fuel savings. And really what the design they came up with and what they're showing in a picture here looks to me to have glider, you know, basically glider features, and then turbofan type of motors, not jet motors. So anyway, I have the link up to this in the show notes. You guys can check it out. Verizon, you remember this? A few years ago, there was a family in Massachusetts that had dongled their Verizon phone to their computer, and they had used it for, you know, several months on a special promotion, and then the promotion ended and they didn't know it, and they received a bill from Verizon for $18,000. That made big news at the time, and I think we covered it when that actually happened. But today, Verizon has said that the bill is uncollectible, and they're not going to be going after the folks anymore. I don't know if they took a hit on their credit rating or not, but they've dropped the request that the family pay the $18,000 bill. That was 4 years ago, so it took them that long to drop it. But these guys' persistence of being online and talking about it apparently helped them out. But they're dropping the request that the family pay the $18K. Hey, a big shakeup going on in Wikipedia. And lots of rumors that there's chaos over there, that there's been all kinds of, and it's all really to do, and I fully don't understand why there's an issue. But what was found, I guess this was found by Fox News, or somebody, I don't know how this fully developed, but they found adult material, and also maybe even child pornography, maybe even as well, on the Wikipedia site. And the leader of Wikipedia, Jimmy Wales, was trying to purge all of this material from Wikipedia. And he had warned the FBI that they had found explicit images of children on the website. And, but anyway, I guess there was a controversy in him actually purging this data. Now, why people would think that to be controversial, I don't know. But some of the material apparently has been restored, which I really don't understand why that would be. But apparently, he has, Jimmy Wales, the founder of Wikipedia, has actually stepped down in his level of, in other words, he doesn't have full administrative rights anymore on Wikipedia. It's saying here that some administrators reportedly conducted a wild purge of the content. Others, according to Fox News, rebelled against these edits. And according to the site, many of the images that were deleted have since been restored. An email from a Wikipedia admin reads, in essence, right now, Jim Wales is deleting things based on his singular judgment about what should be allowed and should not be allowed. This is a large change, and lack of clear policy creates a very confusing and frustrating environment for editors. So this tells me that there's chaos over there. And I think we'll all agree that if they found child porn on Wikipedia, there's no place for that. That is, you know, there's no place for that. So why is there controversy? And why are admins re-adding this stuff back into the site? So accordingly to this article, this was brought about by Fox News. And I don't know the full role Fox has played here in this, but makes you really wonder a little bit. So I'm sure more on this is going to come out, And but I, you know, I'm just, you know, going based upon three or four different articles that I saw that talked about this content. But I guess this is an ongoing battle that's been going on since April 27th, which really is not that long, 21 days ago. But do you guys agree? They should have, it's this type of material, if it was truly child pornography, had no place, has no place anywhere, especially on Wikipedia. That's not even, I don't even want to say that. It has no place anywhere on the internet. So, I don't know why this would be a frustrating environment for editors, unless it was something considered art. But then again, you know, where do you draw the line on that? I don't know. So if anyone else has any more detailed information on this, love to hear from you. Boy, oh boy, I am like way long on content tonight. All right. Last two or three things here. Microsoft's going to pay $200 million in damages over the patent dispute. They've settled on that. Doctors are also seeing a what they're calling Google-itis. Patients are Googling about their symptoms and then going to the doctor and arguing with the doctor about their symptoms, saying, this is what I found on Google. And many doctors are having to bring laptops into appointments and say, no, this is what you don't have. This is what you do have. So how many of you are doing Google-itis? I know I Google stuff all the time about health. But I don't, you know, I ultimately trust my doctor. Now, I'm completely amazed here. Time Warner has stand up to automated copyright infringement filing. And this is amazing. Time Warner stands up for nobody, but yet they have stood up to the court and say, hey, these filings that are going on for all of these infringement lawsuits are overloading us. We can't keep up with it. We need more people. This has got to stop. And so kudos to Time Warner for at least doing that right. I'll have the link up in the show notes on this. And probably the biggest article tonight that I was kind of an eye-opener for me was this one talking about, in the past, we've talked about this new technology that uses brain scan to do lie detector test. Well, there was actually a court proceedings that was trying to introduce this as evidence in a court case. They actually had a guy that was a defendant using this brain scan technology to prove that he is telling the truth about a topic. And they're trying to make this a legal, of course, you know, lie detector tests have long been semi-disputed in courts, but they've been used as evidence. This is a new form of lie detector test that's using a brain scan, and they're working to make this a legal option for prosecutors and defendant to bring to trial. So I thought that was big. So keep advised on where that ends up. And of course, the Canon Rebel T2i has been updated and announced, and a good rate review on that. I'll have that linked up in the show notes for you. Okay, I'm super long here. Let me go ahead and get into the audio comments, and then we'll get into the emails real quick and get that knocked out. Okay, again, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Apologize tonight, I'm just not firing on all cylinders. I don't know why, but I guess it just happens, you know, every once in a while. But anyway, here goes the voicemail.
Hey, Todd, this is Sal out of New York.
Hey, Sal.
The last bit of your last podcast, I don't remember the number off the top of my head. Sound like Java.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what's wrong with your machine, but it was really tough to listen to.
No, you couldn't listen to it.
Put that last bit out somehow if you haven't lost it completely. If you're able to retrieve it, and I'd like to hear the last bit of your show there. And I'm going to send you an email about the meetup in Rochester.
Well, you just got cut off at the end, Sal. Did you hang up? Anyway, hey, yeah, 574 was Jack, Sal. I mean, or was it 5? Yes, show 574 was completely jacked. I replaced it with a backup. Show 575 was on the backup recorder. I'm looking at the show tonight. 576, which is today, looks like it's going to make it. The recorder's doing okay, but it's already, the machine has been fired. A new machine's coming, as I talked about in the beginning of the show, but the new audio file is up there. So if you want to download it, you can listen to the last bit of the show. And yeah, I think the Rochester trip is on. And if that's the case, let me look here in my trusty calendar. I will be probably coming to Rochester the week of June the 14th. I'll be out there that week. So that looks like that's going to be happening. So I'll keep you advised on that. All right, let's go ahead and bust the emails out real quick here. See if I can get through those before I go really super long here. Got an email from Andrew. He sent me some pictures of the Horizon. Of course, that's the disaster that's happened in the Gulf. The Horizon platforms. It's a PDF file. And don't have a link to this, Andrew. I would love to have an actual link to this. Actually, let me go up here. And got an email from Bree to say, hey, Todd, too cool for words. Don't miss this one. And she says, this is a great video showing the first assembly lines at the original Ford auto plant. Neat to see those guys making the old wooden wheels by hand, mostly. The places that cars could go is amazing. Click here. She's got me a YouTube video. I have that link up in the show notes. Got an email from Sal. Hey, Todd, heard about your visit to Rochester. Let me know. I'd like to come up and meet you. And he's actually talking about a restaurant that we are going to hit. Got an email from Tim. Hey, Todd, I know you enjoy the story of the Air Force using Sony PlayStation 3s for a cluster computing generating processor power of the 53 teraflop range. Yeah, we talked about it in the last show. Thanks for that link, though, Tim. Got an email here from Jason. He said, hey, Todd, a listener about 3 or 4 months via podcast, and I want to let you know I love your show. A couple of things I want to say is that GNC is your show. And don't let other people get you down for talking about your personal life as it personalizes the show for people. Besides, it's a couple of minutes worth, actually about 15 minutes, Jason. He said, also, I'm a graphic designer student at Western Carolina University, currently in my last semester doing my internship, and I wanted to know what type of stuff you'd like design. I know Photoshop, InDesign, Illustrator, Flash, Dreamweaver, and After Effects. So if there's anything you have in mind to possibly throw at me, I'd really appreciate it. All I ask to use whatever for my portfolio, of course. I'm free for now as it will help me in the long run. If you don't use whatever design, I won't get upset. It's all business. I'm here for the experience. Jason out of North Carolina. Hey, Jason, really, it's just like album art, 600 by 600 pixel stuff. Really just kind of looking for anything creative. You know, you see something with the GNC logo, you have an idea about the show and you want to throw something together, send it on over. You know, I'll be happy to throw it up in ID3 tag as album art. It can run the gambit, and I'll keep you in mind if I've got little graphics projects for you. And if you send some stuff over, I'll add you to the Geek News Central insider list. And thanks for the offer. I got an email here from, actually a Twitter message from Dave Buchanan of Audio Collective. He said, hey, Todd, if you want to meet up for lunch or something while you're in Michigan, I'd love to chat. By the way, Friday is a TEDx Lansing here in Michigan. So hopefully we can meet up on my Saturday meetup. Dave, I hope you can come down and like you did last time. So again, Saturday night, 6 p.m., I'll drop you an email direct too. Got an email here from Ron. He says, hey, Todd, I've been reading up on Galaxy 15 Path into AMC 11. And it got me remembering that this has happened before. Back in 1994, Canada lost TV. Almost all the stations went dead. This was due to the Anik E1 and E2 that were caught in a magnetic storm. I found info on Space Weather Site. There's also a PDF of how Telesat for Anik E2 got the satellite back up after the storm. He says there's also two satellites that collided in space in 2009. The two satellites were Iridium 33 and Cosmos 2251. I remember watching Leo report on Twit, and he was playing back the sound the two objects made when they crashed. It was like, wow. From DJ City or TJX, a Japan Experience podcast at jraygo. I'll put that up in the show notes. Thanks for that, Ron. We'll get your links up there. I got an email here from Billy. Says, hey, Todd, here's an article from Computer World about a survey that shows how U.S. government agencies use unsafe methods to transfer files. I'm not sure what category this falls under, but what I find most disturbing is the lack of surprise I have about this issue. I hope this will be a wake-up call to all the agencies as well as the people of this country. Keep up the great work and love the show. Bill out of Coatesville, Pennsylvania. And I'll have that link up in the show notes. Got an email from Tracker Tom about the war driving police in Germany. And they're going to be, I'm firing on all cylinders tonight. I really am. I hope you guys have been laughing the whole show because I haven't. Internet users in Germany are now going to be fined if they have left their wireless networks unprotected. They can be fined up to 100 euros, according to a recent ruling by Germany's top criminal court. So they're going to be going around looking for open Wi-Fi, and it'll be interesting to see how they enforce that. Another email from Tracker Tom was an article about how E. coli made this individual appreciate his iPad, and I think you guys will be kicked out of this one. And then the most interesting story I read today, and Trucker Tom actually sent it to me today as well, was about patients who have woken up during major surgeries. They basically, they can't move, they're paralyzed, they can't say nothing, but yet they can hear and feel a lot that's going on around them in their actual surgeries. And this one was about a lady that was actually having an eyeball removed, of all things, and woke up in the middle of the surgery. She wanted to scream but could not. The only thing she could hear was cut deeper, pull harder. And that just, if that wouldn't make you just about sick to your stomach and go nuts, nothing would. But thanks for Trucker Tom for those three articles. I have them linked up in the show notes. Well, thanks for bearing with me tonight. Struggled through. I don't know what the heck the deal is. This goes this way sometimes, but if you have comments, which I'm sure you're all going to have comments, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365, and next show will be from Michigan. Well, until then, everyone take care, and aloha.